just remembering, oh, this time God showed up. This time God did this. It wasn't what I planned or expected. I'm running to him with my fear, but I'm going to remember what he did and then risk and take the next step as you feel God asking you to step in the water again. Because the thing about the Promised Land is they didn't just go into one place and plop down and that was it. They were continuing to go in and take more land. And in Joshua 18, they say, how long will you put off going to take in the land God has for you? So our yes isn't just to stay. It is a daily get up in the morning. I have to do it all day long. Lord, here's my yes. I surrender again and again.
What would you do if the Lord asked you to go live in Nepal for the rest of your life? What would you do if the Lord asked you to go to the Ukraine during a fierce war and you even wondered if you would come home alive or not? Jen Hand, today's guest on the Significant Women podcast, has put her yes on the table. And when God asks her to go, this girl goes. Welcome to the Significant Women podcast. I'm your host, Carol McLeod. Significant Women is a podcast for women to gather with personal stories, wisdom gleaned from the ordinary days of an uncommon life. Our goal is to simply encourage women that your story matters. It matters very much to the unshakable kingdom of God. I've learned that when we allow Jesus to be involved in the daily details of our lives, that all of our lives can be a significant demonstration of his character. So let me tell you about Jen Hand, who's my guest today. She's the executive director of Coming Alive Ministries, and she wishes that she could sit down with you, yes, you, I'm talking to you, and have a strong cup of coffee, and that she could ask you this question: what makes you come alive? Jen Hand is delightful, she's committed, and she's filled with the joy of the Lord. A conversation with Jen is going to make you gulp hard. It will accelerate your heart rate, and it will send you straight to your knees, because you'll have some praying to do. You'll have to do some business with Jesus. Jen has her master's degree in trauma counseling, and God has opened a unique door for her to respond to natural disasters around the world, providing trauma counseling and the hope of Jesus Christ on the holy ground of suffering. I want to warn you, though, only continue listening today if you want to be challenged by an ordinary girl who has said an enthusiastic yes to Jesus. What will you say? Well, my guest today is Jen Hand. And I don't know, Jen, we've been friends for 3-4 years, something like that.
Yeah, maybe even a little bit longer. It might have been about 5 years ago when you coached me, which was such a gift.
Yeah, well, you know, I think one of my calls in life is to keep my eye on women from the next generation who are knocking it out of the park and to cheer them on. And you are one of those girls in, you know, as I watch your life. And so we're going to have fun today. But one thing I just wanted to ask you at the beginning is, what? So you have a twin sister? Are you guys identical? Like, tell us about your twin.
Oh, it's the best thing in the world, Carol. People ask me what it's like to be a twin. I'm like, well, I don't know what it's like to not be a twin, but I can tell you it is the best gift. She is, we are identical, but we are living very different lives. We both love Jesus so much, but she has been married for 16 years. Her and her husband started a church and have 4 kids. So my greatest joy in life as a single woman is to be Aunt Nin, as they call me, to those 4 kids. So I get to spoil them and give them all the things, and it is the best.
So do you make them eat vegetables when they're with you or no?
Carol, let's be honest. No, of course not. I don't want to eat vegetables either. So no, they learned pretty quick before. I mean, it does not take long for them to figure out anything. I'm just going to say yes. It is the best.
Isn't it true? With these little people who just crawl into our hearts, it's like the word no doesn't exist anymore.
That's right. It's so fun to be an aunt. And they are from 13 down to 3 years old. So I have the whole range. It is so much fun. And yesterday, I bought some sunglasses at the Dollar Tree, and my 13-year-old nephew told me I looked cool. So I was feeling that was a real win.
You have arrived. When a 13-year-old says, you're cool.
Yeah, I was like, I'm buying more of these.
I know. Give me 10 pairs. I can afford that. Oh, I love it. Oh, but Jen, your heart is so filled with passion for the Lord and for his kingdom. And so when you were a little girl, or maybe a teenager, what did you want to be when you grew up? Did you know the Lord then? Was there a call of God on your life when you were a little girl?
It's so much fun because I was blessed to feel the call of the Lord to know him, even at 7, 8 years old. I was listening to Salty, the singing songbook, Carol. I don't know if you know.
I know. But, I want to sing a song together.
We could, right? And I grew up going to church, but something about listening to him talk about heaven, a hymn book talking about heaven. If you don't know, he was a blue hymn book cartoon. Yeah. I wrote a letter to my parents in my rose-scented diary and ripped the page out, put it on their beds that I wanted to know how to know Jesus. And so they brought the pastor's wife over. I said the best yes I've ever said to him that night with my twin sister in my parents' bedroom. And then I fell in love with my Precious Moments Bible, which had, you know, the sweetest pictures. I remember Psalms 23 in particular, the Precious Moments Shepherd. And it just was such a, I fell in love with God's word. And I made all my friends come to revival at the playground. And I mean, they were getting saved because they wanted to swing, really, Carol. But I just really wanted to teach God's word, even at that age. And then I found out that there were missionaries doing this thing where they would go to places that didn't know Jesus and get to tell about him. And I knew that is 100% what I wanted to do when I felt called, even at 8 years old. So if you're a mom out there, you just never know what God is doing and stirring in your kids.
You know, it's so true, Jen. I felt the call of God at 8 years old as well at the altar one Sunday night church. But see, you and I are different. I'm probably more like your sister because I knew the call of God was on my life. And I knew, like, okay, so you're a child of the 80s and 90s. I'm a child of the 60s and 70s. So back then, Jen, like, what did women do in ministry? We played the piano. We taught Sunday school. We planned the annual turkey dinner. Or we were a missionary. Mm-hmm. And sister, I didn't want to go to Africa. Mm-hmm. But I felt the call so strong as a little girl. So you specifically heard a call to missions. Is that right?
I did. And I remember hearing, in particular, we made a salt map of Ghana, Africa, which is so funny. When I think back, I really don't know what was happening, but it's like Play-Doh. And I say that's how the fire of God started in my belly for missions, because I ate the salt map. I don't know why, Carol. It was not like a cookie, but I went home, and so God just put a fire in me, I guess you could say. But really, I just knew that I wanted to go. And even at that age, remember being captured by stories of people around the world who did not know Jesus. And that is where I felt God was calling me.
So when you were a teenager, did you serve God all the days of your teenage life? You never struggled with rebellion or talking back to your parents or, you know,
cheating on the test? Well, I'm sure I did talk back to my parents, Carol. But I will say I was not cool enough to be a rebel. That's how I say it. I really feel God protected me and put me in this little bubble. And so I didn't go through. And I used to think, well, what is my testimony? I didn't go through those rebellious years. I really knew and wanted to love Jesus. Well, where I will say my miracle story of redemption is I knew God loved me, but I didn't really love me myself. And I wonder if there's some listeners out there that is their story as well. I would look in a mirror and see all the things I wish God had made differently. Although I wouldn't do that for my identical twin. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But that's the way Satan lies to us. And so my journey was I was shy. I know that's hard to believe now. I was shy. I was insecure. And I just really did not like how God had made me. So what God began to do in me, especially once I went to college, I call it my Psalm 139 miracle, where God began to really get deep, not just in my head, but my heart. Jen, I have fearfully and wonderfully made and designed you. I've numbered your days. I know exactly what I have planned for you. And you have to walk in the creation that I've made you to be. So that is more what God did in my life, was just really begin to show me that insecurities would keep me from saying yes to God all day long. But if I could really say yes to how God saw me and who God called me to be, then I could walk out his plans for me.
And, you know, I think that's every woman's story. I think women can actually relate to that more than they can, you know, I was a drug addict or you know, I don't know, something else traumatic a little bit, because we all struggle with self-esteem. We all compare ourselves to others and think that we can help God create us better. And that's just not true. So that's your testimony. And so you went to high school, you did serve the Lord, and then where did you go to college? Did you go to Christian college or State University?
I went to Tennessee Wesleyan, a little small Methodist college about 45 minutes from my house, and it was the best years. I look back on that with so much fondness. I was a really big part of the Baptist Collegiate Ministries director ministry there, and just saw what it means to see community come together and how you can see revival from that. Although our school was a Christian college by name, there were not many Christians there. And when I started my freshman year, and I remember my sister and I making a list of people, we called it our shower prayer list, that we were going to pray to come to know Jesus by the time we graduated. And we would put it in the shower at our dorm room. And we prayed over that every time we stepped in that shower. And by the time I graduated, every name on that shower prayer list had been checked off to come to know Jesus. So it was so special to see.
Oh my goodness.
Even an unexpected place.
Yeah.
People needed revival, and I just love seeing that happen. And while I was there, I got to take my first overseas trip to Japan. It was my first plane ride, 14 hours, and I just knew, again, this is my calling. I want to see people coming to know Jesus around the world.
Yeah, yeah. Jen, one of my sayings in life is, you know, I'm alive to make hell smaller and heaven bigger. Mm. It's sort of a paraphrase of a Reinhard Bonnke quote, but he said that he lived to pummel hell and populate heaven. So that's where you are in life too. So you graduated from this wonderful little university that you loved. Then what came next?
So I actually had said yes to God to go overseas. And I really want to encourage the listener that sometimes when we think we say yes to God, we think, okay, I'm going to say yes, but here's my plans of what that yes will look like, right? And
right.
I thought, well, this is a godly thing. I'm going to go serve overseas. I didn't even really pray about it. It just seemed right. And I was appointed to go serve in Thailand. And I began to pray, and my mentor and I prayed together and sensed that that was not God's will at that time for my life, which did not make sense. But I eventually returned the plane ticket and the money I had raised, not knowing why God was asking my yes on the table to lead to saying no to what I thought. And it turns out the village I was going to serve in Thailand was completely destroyed by the tsunami within weeks of when I was going to be there.
Oh, my goodness.
So God knew that his plans for me were not to be there, because his glory was still going to be unfolding in my story. And
yes.
So I ended up going and getting a master's degree in counseling, which was not also on my plan, but that is the way, the direction the Lord led. And so that's what I ended up doing.
So Jen, you talk freely about hearing God's voice. And I've heard in your conversation, you associate it with prayer. But tell me, how does God speak to you? How do you, as a desperate woman who wants to serve him, how do you hear God's voice?
Oh, that's such a great question. And I think the first thing is, and I can't remember if this is video or audio, but I'm holding up my Bible. This is, you have to know the voice of God by studying the words of God. And so that's the first thing. Like I just have to be in his word, and not out of obligation for him to love me, but because I am loved by him and he is telling me about it in his word. And studying it, diving deep into it, learning it, knowing it is how you first begin to hear his voice, because you'll get to know his character. You'll get to know his commands. You'll get to know what is commonly how he moves. And often that's in the uncommon, right? And
right.
So just knowing his word is so important to knowing his voice. And then just asking the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus said, I'm giving you a helper. And so I would encourage anyone to just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you through the pages of the word. It's alive and active. When you have a question, I want to say yes to you, God, but what's next? Or what now? Or here's my fears. And we can have a conversation with the God of the universe. So it's sometimes just that still small knowing inside, not necessarily an audible. I mean, don't we wish sometimes, like the Old Testament, he moved in a cloud or a pillar of fire? But we don't have that because we have the actual presence of God that it says lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm giving you a great gift. I'm going to leave you, but I'm giving you something greater. And so that, and then being in Christian community to test, to hold accountable, to filter through, here's what I sense God is saying. Can you pray with me? And those things are just the way that I can hear God's voice.
So do you have go-to people in your life that you run things by, that pray with you, that help you discern all of this?
I do. I think we should always have people older than us pouring into us, people that are the same age, our peer community that we're pouring out our hearts to, that are holding us accountable, and then people behind us as well. So I have some in each little stage, and then also always looking for new, because sometimes the Lord will surprise you, right? When you're least expecting, and send you somebody else to speak into your life that has another nugget of wisdom that maybe you didn't even know you needed. So I'm blessed with spiritual mamas, spiritual friends, and then spiritual, I don't want to call them babies, the people behind that, you know, I'm cheering on as well.
Sons and daughters. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's better than baby. I like that.
Oh, well, so when did you eventually make it to Nepal? And was that the first country you served in long term?
Yes. So eventually I went to grad school, and after graduating felt, okay, it's time. So I was appointed as a career missionary to go live in Nepal. And I really thought I was going to live and die there and have a missionary offering named after me someday. That was the plan.
You and Lottie Moon.
I was going to be the next one, you know? And but here is the interesting thing about saying yes to God. We can want to say yes, put it on the table, and think, okay, I took this big step of faith. For me, it was, I said goodbye to everyone I knew and loved. I went, and then I fell in love with the country. And everything about serving God there felt like a dream come true. And yet, even a few months in, I sensed that God was saying, this is not my will for you to stay. I don't have just one people in one place. So you're not going to live and die here. And but I fought against that, because when we say yes to God, when I say yes, I can want to say yes to the safe and the same, even though to some people Nepal is the least from the safe that they would want to say. But when I got there, I poured myself all in, learned the language, learned the customs. But I remember listening to a tape by Beth Moore, where she was talking about Isaiah, and where it says, he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is set on you. And she asked this question, where does your mind spew? And I remember writing down in my journal, my mind is afraid, my mind and my heart are afraid that God will ask me to leave Nepal when I've given everything, I've poured out, I've learned this language, what if God asked me to leave? And that's when I began to sense God was asking me to leave.
Wow. So how long were you in Nepal?
So I ended up living there for 2 years and then coming home 2 years after arriving there.
So let me ask you this, Jen. So when you sensed God was asking you to leave Nepal, did he tell you what was next, or did he, like, was that behind some kind of prayer curtain that wasn't revealed to you yet?
It was not revealed to me yet. That was hard. It was very hard to say, because sometimes we have to say yes to the unknown. And then, like the priest in Joshua chapter 3, they had to step in the water before they actually saw the water part. And so I did not know. And I would say that one of my big fears, if I'm saying what can keep me from faith steps, is fear of rejection. So I'm thinking, what are people going to think of me? This failure who said she was going to live and die, and here she is coming home. And so I really had to die to the pride in my own heart. I had to die to what I liked that came along with the title of missionary. Because when you're a single missionary going to a third world country, you get put on the super servant platform. And the pride part of me liked that. And here I am going to say I'm coming home, and I'm not sure why, except surrender, right? It was a difficult surrender.
So what have you been doing in the years since you were in Nepal? And then we're going to talk about your book. But what have you been doing?
So I came back and I began to speak to churches about my experience in Nepal. And as I spoke, my heart was just heavy, because I had been in a country where people were worshiping dead gods all around me and ringing bells to wake their gods up, you know, trying to get these idols to listen and their statues that are not God. But then I came back to the church in the South of people that said they knew the living God, but they were just as dead inside. And God began to really burden my heart. Jen, I want you to call people to come alive in Christ. First, you live so fully alive in Christ, Jen, that people want to know the God that is alive in your life. And then second, invite people to come alive. So I started Coming Alive Ministries in 2012, and I wanted to and felt led to get to go and invite people to come alive in Christ through conferences, retreats, written resources, Bible studies, and then also doing trauma counseling. So that is what I started in 2012, and God has let me do all of those dreams together, and it's been a real surprise. I got that trauma counseling degree, and then Nepal had their major earthquake that killed thousands of people, and they asked some people from Nepal asked me to come back because I speak Nepalese and debrief the people from their disaster and stand on the holy ground of suffering. And while I was there, I realized this is the piece. This is my call to mission. So now I travel around the world whenever there's a natural disaster or war. In fact, I just got back from Ukraine 3 weeks ago. Was there almost a month serving. And that has been the unique piece God has put together. And so when we say yes to God, He is putting together the pieces in a way that is exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or imagine, which is what Ephesians 3:20 promises us.
Yeah, one of my favorite verses. Mm-hmm. So I love, you know, I always say God doesn't waste anything. Whatever you've gone through in your life, God's not going to waste that. And so your love for missions and you're in it for the long haul and your trauma counseling degree, your love of life, you're wanting to help people. So now that's what you do is you travel around the world where there's been a natural disaster or a war. What? So do you just like talk to people on the street? Do you have meetings? Do you have counseling appointments? What do you do?
So it's different every place that you go, but I try to show up as close to the disaster as I can. So often, even in America, Hurricane Harvey in Texas, I got in my car, drove to Texas, standing there with people as all of their belongings are outside and they're trying to sort through the muck and the mire. I've been there during earthquakes when I just help people sift through the rubble of their hearts and their homes. So it tends to be, if it's a third world country or a country that's experienced a disaster, I partner with the church and the pastor and provide a debriefing, group debriefing for them, but train them so they are able to go out and debrief and provide trauma care for their community. So sometimes it's big groups, sometimes it's going door to door, sometimes it's mucking out a house while asking and saying, here's the key on the holy ground of suffering. God sees you, He knows you. And even though it may not feel like it right now, He loves you and He is with you and He sent me to stand with you in the gap. So that's what I just had the blessing of doing in Ukraine, most heartbreaking experience I've ever had, but just holding people's stories and their hands in my heart as they're in the midst of war and just saying, God sees you, He loves you, He has not forgotten you.
So you've used a phrase at least twice in our conversation so far. You said the holy ground of suffering. Mm. Tell us about that.
I remember when God first revealed to me the holy ground of suffering is when I was in Nepal. And it was so hard for me to see the places I knew destroyed in complete rubble. The people just that were already desperate and poor, even more desperate and poor. And I was at the epicenter of the earthquake and I was by a church. And there aren't many churches in Nepal. And the earthquake had happened during church. So there was still bodies piled up to the side of the church that had perished. There were people buried inside. And I remember standing there and just falling to my knees because the people were waiting for me to bring them hope. And I said, God, where is the hope here? And I looked up and to the side among all the rubble was the bent cross that had been on top of the church. And that was the only thing you could make out in the rubble. And the Lord said to my heart, Jen, there is always hope beneath any rubble. It is the cross. It is Jesus. And in that moment, that's when I knew that suffering is a holy ground because Jesus ultimately made suffering a holy ground when He suffered on the cross for us.
That's rich. That's rich. Thank you, Jen, for sharing that. Whew. This is a rich and spirited conversation, isn't it? Before we hear more from Jen Hand, I'd like to take just a minute and share with you some exciting things that are going on at Carol McLeod Ministries, because like Jen, I've said yes to God. Starting September 12th, 2022, I'm going to be spending Monday evenings with women from all across the country to study the Word of God together. We'll join on Zoom and dig deeply into the book of Mark from the New Testament. The name of this Bible study is Immediately, and it won't take long for you to understand why I have named a Bible study on the book of Mark with the word immediately. Mark is a quick-moving and exciting narrative about the life of Jesus Christ. Registration is $45. Your registration includes weekly notes that will come to your email, devotions, weekly devotions, and 7 live Zoom gatherings. If you're unable to watch on Monday evenings, the teaching will be available throughout the week so that you can watch on your own. You know, the Word of God is able to change our lives in a way that absolutely nothing else can. Why don't you invite a friend or a group of friends and sign up for Monday Nights with Carol, a Bible study on the book of Mark. Sign up today, $45. Now let's rejoin my conversation with the delightful and committed Jen Hand. So you have Coming Alive Ministries, and you've said yes to God, and He opened the door for you to write a book, to be a published author, which I know has been a dream of yours for so long. And you've written this new book that's just come out in 2022, and the name of the book is My Yes is on the Table. Talk to us about your new book.
It is. Carol, you're so sweet because you mentored me in many of those years of wanting a book to be published. And what I learned in the waiting for 10 years, I worked in the waiting because God is always working behind the scenes in His timing and for His perfect time. This book came out with Moody Publishing, and this book is all about the answer of this question. I want to say yes to God, but I'm afraid of blank. And I ask social media friends, I asked friends in real life, what would they fill it in with? And I got all kinds of answers. Rejection, fear of failure, fear of God's, will God provide for my yes? Other people sent in things like, will I hear God right? Fear of what will my family think? What will people think? What will be required of me? And I opened the book in Nepal, but also mentioning just because you say yes to God does not mean He's going to send you to Nepal. just to put you at ease. I don't want people to not buy the book because each of our yes is different. My sister hates airplanes. And so she would not, you know, God has not called her to the same yes that He's called me to. But in this book, each chapter responds to one of those fears while going through the Israelites as they go through the stories in Joshua, from Joshua 1, where they stand on the edge, till the end of Joshua, when they're in the promised land. They are learning what it means to possess the promises God has for them by saying yes. And each battle, each more movement into the promised land looks different as long as it does with our yeses as well. So it's an adventure and just a journey to encourage us to say yes together and move from fear stops into faith steps. And I'll say, Carol, I wrote the book and released it April 5th. And then in May, talked about the book a ton on publicity. And then God said, I want you to live your yes and go to an actual war zone and watch my work as your fear stops become faith steps in the middle of a battle. And so I am going to say I've learned to really fully live it out myself as well.
I feel another book's coming from that, sister.
It was life changing to be surrounded by actual missiles dropping and to see what it's like. The physical war so parallels the spiritual battle that we're in. And
You know, so I've always loved the story of Joshua. And one of the extraordinary things to me about Joshua in the Old Testament is that the Lord led Joshua and the Israelites to cross the Jordan River at the very worst time in the natural. The river was at flood stage. Like, why couldn't have God asked them to cross it 6 months earlier or later when the water was low? But no, God said now. And so they had to cross it at flood stage. And of course, you know, that's when the water dried up. So I think often the Lord calls us to do something when in the natural, it's like the hardest moment of all to do it. Mm-hmm. Because we can't count on our culture or on the ease of the economy. We have to trust in His power. Mm-hmm. And so for me, my yes is taking my eyes off circumstances and keeping them fixed on God's power. And that's what you've had to do as well.
Yes. And when we do that, it's amazing how He shows His power to us. Not always in the places or the plans or the provision we expect, which right. The Bible is full of stories like that. They weren't expecting Jesus to come in the way He did, even though He had told them over and over and over, I'm coming. He didn't come in the way they expected, but He came. And that's what I remind myself all the time. He comes.
He comes. Okay. All right. Now, because you're a trauma counselor, I want to ask you two questions, so I'm going to do them one at a time. But as a trauma counselor, you know, if I was your client or somebody listening, and I had a real problem with fear, like I was consumed by fear and worry and anxiety, how would you get me to move from being consumed by fear to being a woman of faith? Mm-hmm. What are some practical things you might tell me to do?
So I actually got to experience this myself as a trauma counselor when I was in a horrific car accident last September, and I didn't want to drive anymore. And so it was consuming because I saw, I was conscious for the whole car accident. I spun 6 times on the interstate and hit someone head on. And so I learned that the tools that I'm going to tell you actually work and help, and you need them. So the first thing is to, in anxiety and fear, it's so easy to get stuck in the what ifs. And anxiety and fear is very, very future. You're just always thinking of the future. Future oriented. What if this happens? What if that happens? And so what I had to learn is what is. And when you think about what is happening right now, going back to the present, and what is true about what God says too. But in the natural, physically, it is important to just, when you start to feel anxious and overwhelmed, to tie yourself to the natural right now, even just something that you can taste with the 5 senses that God gave us, to take your brain out of fight or flight mode if you're feeling really anxious. Breathe, take deep breaths, go on a walk, feel the ground beneath your feet. Even when I'm driving, sometimes I've had to take something really sour to waken the taste buds. Like, God made our bodies the way our brains and our bodies and our hearts all work together so intricately. So I would encourage you, if you're stuck in a moment of almost panic, think about what is. Find your 5 senses, pray as you do that, and then turn those what ifs into what is true. Because often it is when we're focusing on the future that we're full of fear. And then just find help, get help. Like, don't be ashamed to ask for help and to seek good godly counsel. And I just encourage you to do that as well. And sometimes just need to talk out loud what is inside of your brain to help you process through that trauma so it doesn't stay stuck.
Okay, that was a great answer. I'm going to actually apply some of those things to my life. But now another question for you. We're getting some free counseling here today.
Yes.
So what would you say to the woman who's listening today who's just been through a trauma? Maybe her husband's had an affair or many affairs. Maybe it's a mom dealing with a prodigal child who's turned their back on faith. Help those moms move ahead in life.
Here's what I would say. The thing we tend to try to do is to stuff and pretend and ignore the things that are going on because that feels safer. And so what I would number one encourage you to do is to answer that question, whatever it is. I want to say, yes, God, I want to have faith, God, but I am afraid of blank, and run to God with your fears. Like, run to Him and tell Him, this is what I'm afraid of. This is what I'm struggling with. Don't try to keep it inside. We have a God who can carry the whole gamut of our emotions. Isn't that great? The Psalms tells us that. And even Jesus, He was weeping and He was in the garden saying, I don't want this cup. Remove it if you can. So I'd say that's the first huge step, is just acknowledging where you are. And then asking your community to help you not feel alone and to carry that with you, because it can be easy to try to do it yourself and to hold on to shame. Uh-huh. Oh, I shouldn't be struggling with these things. But think about the friends who removed the roof so that they could lower their friend down to be healed by Jesus. That's what I want to encourage you to. I pray and ask God to send you some friends to remove the roof and together seek healing in your situation.
I love that. Thank you so much, Jen. Okay, so saying yes to God. Let's get back to your book. We went on a wise rabbit trail for a minute. But I just want you to take a minute or two, Jen, and I want you to challenge my listeners. I call them my friends. Challenge my friends to say yes to God. Challenge the mom who's in the middle of being up all night with a colicky baby and changing poopy diapers. Challenge the single mom who doesn't know how to pay the bills. Challenge the woman who feels stuck. One of my daughters in the faith wrote on social media today that she's single. She just lost her job. She never thought her life would look like this. Tell Valerie how to say yes to God right now.
Oh, I love this question. And I have it down to a few R's, which sounds simple, but it's really, it's quite a journey to this. But I following the path of what happened in Joshua, the first is recognize your fear. In Joshua 1:9, just as we said, God says to Joshua, "Fear not, be strong and courageous, I am with you." And I love that because God is not condemning fear, he's coming alongside of him. Yes. So I would encourage you first is recognize your fear. I mean, Joshua was taken over from Moses. I think of moms who are trying to not compare themselves to all the moms in social media and their lunchboxes for their kids. And, you know, the mom who sent their daughter off to summer camp and the daughter had a meltdown because emotionally she's struggling with anxiety, you know, like, moms are in a hard place, in a comparison society. Run to God with your fears. That single that's afraid, what if I'm always alone? Run to God with that fear. So you recognize the fear, then you release it. And then the next R is remember what God has done before. Mm-hmm. Because they stepped into the water in Joshua 3. But in Joshua 4, they're told to go back, pile up some stones in remembrance, because they will forget. And it's so easy to forget what God has done in the past, that the same God of your yesterdays is working in your today and has gone into your tomorrow. So pick up some stones of remembrance when you're overwhelmed. For me, like, God, are you going to provide here? The bank account's looking low and the bills are looking high. And I have to go back and pull up stones of how God has been there before, remembering. So for that one who's lost her job and is just struggling, just remembering, oh, this time God showed up. This time God did this. It wasn't what I planned or expected. I'm running to him with my fear, but I'm going to remember what he did and then risk and take the next step as you feel God asking you to step in the water again. Because the thing about the promised land is they didn't just go into one place and plop down and that was it. They were continuing to go in and take more land. And in Joshua 18, they say, how long will you put off going to take in the land God has for you? So our yes isn't just to stay. It is a daily get up in the morning. I have to do it all day long. Lord, here's my yes. I surrender again and again and again.
Yeah. My yes is on the table. So Jen, you're so extraordinary. Actually, I'd love to meet your mom and just pick her brain because of you and your sister and your love for the Lord. But what women have been role models for you? Maybe people you've met, people you've never met. Mm-hmm. Who are your heroines of the faith?
I love this question. My mom, of course, is amazing. The thing I love about my mom, she's a stay-at-home mom, and she set the table for us. We had a full hot cooked breakfast every morning and dinner, and she just set the table for us to be together. And that may not seem like a life-changing thing, but it really set the table for two life-changing daughters. And I always say that the first place I learned to put my yes on the table was around my parents' dinner table. And so I love that about my mom. And my sister is also a hero in the faith to me. I watch her yes to God. And it's very different than my yes, but her home is open. Her heart is open. She is pouring in to college students all the time. And just mom, just do wonder. I call her Wonder Woman. So she is. And then Carol, you and I were just talking about Carol Kent. She has poured into me. She has a ministry for speakers and writers. And I remember 10 years ago coming on scholarship to the Speak Up Conference, which I highly recommend, and showing up insecure, full of fears. And she just wrapped her arms around me, her and her faculty. And 10 years later, this week, I got to give the keynote address on the stage of the place where God really changed my ministry life. And so Carol Kent, I hope she's listening. She is a hero of the faith to me.
I'm going to make sure she listens. I'll shoot her an email. She was on a couple weeks ago, and so I'll make sure. Yeah, she hears your heart. Yeah, she's a role model. So many of us. Mm-hmm. You know, Jen, at the beginning of our conversation, we sort of giggled that you supposed maybe, you know, there'd be an offering in your name sometime, just like Lottie Moon, you know, missionary offering at Christmas time. But honestly, seriously, what is the legacy you want to be remembered for? Mm-hmm. 100 years from now, when you're great-great nieces and nephews are talking about Auntie Nin or whatever it is they call you. What do you want your legacy to be?
I want it to be that I lived the message of my yes is on the table, that I moved from fear to faith. And then I want it to be that I lived so fully alive in Christ that people wanted to know the God who was alive.
Amen. I love it. That's very succinct and meaningful. Do you have a favorite Bible verse?
Oh, they're all so, so it's hard to pick one at the time. But right now, I think after just returning from what was the scariest time of my life with missiles falling and dropping around me in Ukraine, Psalms 91, that he will cover me in the shelter of his wings. He is he's my shield, my refuge. And that really can answer any fear that I have.
Yeah.
That I can find shelter under the shadow of his wings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank you for reminding us of that. I hope everybody, as soon as we're done, opens their Bibles to Psalm 91 and just let it settle in your heart. Mm-hmm. Just let it settle there. Okay, Jen, now are you ready to have some fun?
I'm ready. Always ready for fun. Yes.
Yeah, I know you are. I can tell. Okay, so this is what I call my favorite things, or a few of my favorite things, because there is no better movie on the face of the planet than The Sound of Music. I'm just saying it.
There. I love it. Okay. I love it.
Yeah. So I'm going to just shoot some things out to you and you respond quickly. And if you'd rather not answer, you can just say pass.
Okay.
And we'll move to the next one. Okay. Other than the Bible, the favorite book you've ever read?
Oh, that's so good. I think the favorite book I've ever read is so hard to pick. But my friend Deb Brown wrote a book called Brave as a Girl Can Be. And I just love that book because I know her and it just calls us to be brave. And it was brave of her to write it. So I love Brave as a Girl Can Be by Deb Brown.
Oh, good. Shout out to her.
Make
sure she listens too. Yes. Okay. Now, Jen, what is that worship song? When you hear the first few notes, your heart just melts and the tears start going down your face and you can't help but raise your hands in the air. Your favorite worship song.
I love worship. And when I like one, I listen to it on repeat and on repeat and on repeat. So right now, the one that I'm listening to the most is pretty new and it's several different people have it out right now, but it's called There's a Miracle in the Works. And there's a few things in life that I'm praying for miracles for. And so I just keep listening to it. There's a miracle in the works. I can feel it. It isn't. And there's the other line says there's revival in the church. And don't we need that? And so I believe that that is true. God is always working out miracles. We just don't always see it in the moment. So.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's a great song. Okay. Do you listen to podcasts?
I do. I love podcasts.
I thought you did. So share with us, give us some podcasts that we should listen to. What's your favorite podcast?
It is so fun because I have lots of friends that are podcasters. So it's really fun too. So I want to give out a shout out to some that you may not know, because I think that is a fun thing to be able to, you know, a lot of people know the big ones. So I just want to make sure I get the names right here.
Absolutely.
My friends, Katie Reed and Lee Nainheis, have one called The Martha and Mary Show. So it's really good. They interview people and ask if they're a Martha or a Mary. And then my friend, Melinda Patrick has one called The Even While Show. And then Shannon Popkin has one called Live Like It's True. And it goes through Bible stories and how we can live like it's true.
Oh, that's so great. And you know what? We'll put links in the show notes to all of those podcasts so that my listeners can just click on and go straight there. All right. I've confessed my favorite movie. What's your favorite movie?
I think it is No Reservations, which is kind of a not really well-known movie, but I don't even know why I loved it so much. But it was about cooking and something about the cooking, and they just were fully alive in what they were doing. And it's like an old rom-com, so I love it.
Okay, No Reservations. We have to look it up. What's your favorite way to rejuvenate?
To be with my sister and her kids, which I know sounds crazy to be with four kids, but that's what I do when I leave something tiring or hard, is I go hang out in the wild chaos of their house.
Oh, I love it. Favorite dessert? Do you eat desserts?
I love dessert. I'm not as much a chocolate girl, though, but I like anything with like a salted caramel, anything with a little bit of salty and a little bit of sweet.
Yeah, that's a good combination. Your favorite holiday?
Christmas. I'm all in. I would celebrate it in July.
I know, me too, every day. Your favorite vacation spot?
I, every year, go to St. George Island in Florida with, I take my dear friend who is paralyzed and in a wheelchair with cerebral palsy, and we have the blessing, a bunch of friends of hers, we go every year and get to go take care of her and put her in the ocean, and it is the best week of my life to get to watch her there. So that's my favorite.
Yay, your favorite. Do you do devotionals along with your Bible reading in the morning or at night or something?
I do, yeah. I have like a bunch. I kind of go throughout different ones.
Okay, recommend one or two.
So the one I'm doing right now is a Book of Prayers by Asherita. It's on my thing over there. I can't think of the name of it, but it's by Asherita. Just look it up. She's a Moody author, and it is a bunch of prayers that take you through Bible verses. And then my dear friend Lucinda Seacrest McDowell, I don't know if you know her, but she's written.
She's one of my friends.
I love her. We just got to room together at Speak Up, and she's written several sweet little devotional books that I just love. So just check her out too.
Yeah, I love her.
And Carol, you write great books. So just a shout out to you too. I read everything you write. So.
Oh, thank you, Jen. Thank you so much. Okay, now this is going to be a little bit more challenging one. What is the best gift, other than Jesus, that you've ever received?
My car. I was in a car accident in September without insurance. I had liability only, and the body of Christ came together and within 3 days bought me a car. So I love it. Tucson, I call it.
What a gift. What a gift. Well, Jen, you are delightful. I want to live next door to you. Can we make that happen?
Please, come on. I would love it.
Just so we can do life together. Let's do it. But before we go, would you pray for my friends? Would you pray that we could go from our fear to our faith? Would you pray that we'd be brave and say yes to God? Okay.
Lord, I thank you so much for our friends that are listening. And I just pray that you speak to them through this interview like they were the only one listening, and remind them that you do see them, whatever they are doing right now, whether it's washing another dish or whether they're stuck in the carpool line or they're single and just really feeling alone right now. God, that you will meet them and show them and remind them that you see them, you know them, you love them. That Psalms 139 is true, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that you've numbered their days and you've hemmed them in behind and before. God, give us strength to say yes to you, to put our yes on the table. And may the listeners right now know what their yes is, and then just reveal to them what is their fear. And then will you supernaturally, as you do, through the power of your word and the strengthening of your Holy Spirit, lead them from their fear stops into faith steps. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jen. Love you, sister.
Love you. This was delightful.
Didn't you just love Jen Hand? I hope that you feel compelled to go to Amazon or ChristianBook.com today and buy a copy of her book, My Yes is on the Table. Listen, I think you should especially buy this book for the young women in your life, teenagers, young adults, because they need to evaluate their hearts and decide what their yes will be. Thank you for joining me this week on the Significant Women Podcast. I'm always amazed that people will want to listen. I hope that you'll share this episode with your friends, again, maybe some young women, and also leave a comment, an encouraging word on whatever hosting platform you listen to. Just a few words of encouragement really does mean the world to us. Now, let me talk to you for a minute. I want you to remember, on good days and hard days, when you can pay the bills and you can't pay the bills, when you're losing weight or gaining weight, whether you're single or married, whether you have children or not, that you're significant because you've been made in the image of the Creator God, your Father. He has stamped you with His power, and He's given you His joy and peace. You, my friend, are significant.